Going to sing from Psalm 19 again this morning. So would you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, we saw last week that two things are mentioned as ways that God has revealed himself to us. And God delights in revealing himself to us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to just not know about him, but wants us to know him. And he has, in many ways, sought to reveal himself to us. And we know here in Psalm 19, two of these ways are mentioned. He mentions creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So creation demonstrates who God is. And the book of Romans there in chapter 1 talks about that as well. And when the man saw who God was, he should have worshipped the creator, but instead he started worshipping the creature more than the creator, Romans says. But a second way that God revealed himself to us is through his word. Through his law here, it's mentioned by the words law, testimony, statutes, commandments. So we have all of these words that are used to describe God's word for us this morning. And we are discovering as we work our way through verses 7, 8, and 9 of this psalm, we will be discovering how the Bible relates to us in many different areas. And last Sunday, we saw that the Bible relates to us in our position. And verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, doing what? Converting the soul. And so the Bible is, again, the means by which the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us, or God has taught us about our needs, about our soul, about... And it's there that we learn about conversion. And so converting the soul, so our position as those who've been converted. But this morning we're going to look at the last part of verse 7. And it says there, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, I'm sure if you've studied in the book of Proverbs, you oftentimes find this word simple. And simple just simply means the uninitiated or those who have not reached a certain level of knowledge or maturity. We might use the term, and it's in a Western setting, if they are greenhorns. You know, we might think of it as those who still need to learn, still need to be taught, still need to grow. And they are simple. It is not a derogatory term. In fact, I pray that God keeps us in certain areas simple our whole lives. I hope we become uninitiated with lots of things in this world, that we just stay simple. Have you ever had somebody tell you something and afterwards you said, that's more information than I really wanted to know? You know, well, that happens a lot of times in my life. There are times when people tell me things, and after they leave, I think, well, you know what? I really didn't need to know that. The word simple here just has to do with the necessity of us to grow and to mature. And how do we do that? Well, we need wisdom. And how do we get that? The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's steadfast. It's solid. And if we want to be wise, then the foundation of that wisdom is the testimony of the Lord. And that's what our whole message is about. I've given you the message in a peanut shell this morning. I'm going to expand on it here in a moment. But before we do, let's just sing this song again. And I think we still have the words up here on the... what it does is that first couple of lines is verse 7, and then we have verse 10. Then in the next verse, we'll go to verse 8 and 10 and 9 and 10, all right? So let's sing it together. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey are the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. By the time we finish the next several weeks singing that together, we will all have memorized verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 together. And if you already don't know them, and I'm sure many of you do, let's pray. Father, open our hearts and our minds to truth today. And Father, we pray that we might not only know truth, but we would walk and live truth. And so we commit these next few moments and this message to your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, something I thought was a little almost enlightening this week happened at our New York State Office of Education building. Did any of you see that in the news this week? They had lockdown for 2 hours because two of their employees got into a brawl where one of them had to be taken to the hospital while they were brawling. And it was an employee and his supervisor. I'm not sure which one had to be taken to the hospital, whether it was the employee or the supervisor. But anyway, and then I'm sure that you have seen recently in our governor's state of the state address, he made all kinds of promises and things about our education system and so forth, that he wants to see that change and improve. What is wrong, primarily, with our education system, not only here in our state, but in the United States?
Too much money.
Too much money. All right. You know what I think is the main problem? They have kicked God out of everything. That's the problem. And certainly, you would not expect today to see Bible principles being honored in our public education system. Certainly, daily Bible reading has been suspended years ago. And so, because what is the source of wisdom, and what is the beginning of wisdom, and what is the source of morals, and what's the source of discernment, that millions of our boys and girls in our public school systems are being denied, that is the Word of God. That's the source. What does this verse say, our text verse? It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, doing what? Making wise the simple. So if you do not have the testimonies of the Lord there to make the simple wise, you are denying them a genuine wisdom. And certainly man's wisdom fails. In fact, if you go to the book of James, you'll see that there's a comparison between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And it uses just three words about earthly wisdom. It says it's what? Sensuous. And it's devilish. and it's fleshly. Those are the three words that are used. Or no, fleshly and sensual are the same one. I can't think of the third one right now. But anyway, it talks about the world and the flesh and the devil. That's where human earthly wisdom comes from. And but the wisdom that's from above is God's wisdom, and it's the wisdom that makes the simple wise. Certainly, our education system is filled with atheistic, agnostic, evolutionary teaching, but sadly, God's given textbook, the Bible, is left out of our education system. Certainly, we are grateful here at Latham Bible Baptist Church to have a Christian school, and that we have the wonderful privilege of day after day with around 150 students teaching them God's Word, giving them the source of wisdom and teaching the Bible. And certainly, spiritual discernment is nigh unto almost non-existent today. I'm sure you saw a survey that was given nationwide a few years ago, and it was determined that the Albany, New York area is the lowest on the scale of biblical knowledge and understanding of anywhere in the United States. And that's kind of sad, isn't it? But God has placed us right here as a lighthouse. And certainly, it's sad that all of the characters of Scripture and all the principles of the Scriptures and all the wisdom of the Scriptures are being denied so many. Of course, Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And you can study all kinds of readings from great men in history. You can study all kinds of theories. You can study all kinds of philosophies. But tragically, until you study the Word of God, you'll know nothing about your sin and your needs for Christ. And again, the Bible here, it says, is, and that's what's referred to as the testimony of the Lord, is sure. It's steadfast. It's true. It's to be trusted. It's sure. Someone once said, there's only two things that are sure in this world, and that's death and, but I want you to tell you there's more than that. There's the Word of God. That's sure. And you can build your life on it and trust Him today. When I went away to college, one of the things that all freshmen had to do coming into college is you had to take a Bible exam when you entered. The first couple days of you were scheduled to go and take a Bible exam. And I think we also took an English exam or something else. But anyway, we took some. And then we had to take one when we got ready to graduate. They were trying to check something. What were they trying to check? Yeah, if you had gained anything in the 4 years that were there. And I don't even remember, because I don't really ever remember seeing the results of those tests anywhere. I don't know if they ever shared them with us. If they did, I was asleep because I don't remember it. But I don't remember ever seeing what the result of my entrance test was and what the result of my exit test was. But do you know one of the sad things today is that even from a lot of homes and from churches and from Christian schools, there are young people who take those tests and still seem to have so many big gaps going on. So many gaps going on. They somehow just don't seem to put it all together. And I pray that as I am the pastor of Latham Bible Baptist Church, that I will be able to declare the whole counsel of God so that we don't have big gaps anywhere in our Bible knowledge, in our Bible understanding. How do we learn about God and who he is and what he's done? Well, we learn about him through his word. And we learn about our own needs and our own sin nature and what we need to do in order to be saved. And the word of God is the source of all of these things. We see how God works as we look at how he worked in the lives of the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and see what grace has accomplished as we come to the New Testament. Certainly, formal education is wonderful today, isn't it? I enjoy literature. I love science. I love math. I know that we profit from studying history and math and science and language and music, but no education is ever truly complete that doesn't also have as its foundation the Word of God. I know that there are some who would maybe disagree with this statement, but I think no one is truly educated who doesn't know the Bible and have the Bible in their lives. Now, so in this passage, when it talks about the simple being wise, that's because we have learned to live by principle. Last week, we were learning the Bible and our position, converted. Now we know the Bible as our principle. Do you know how we ought to all live our lives? By principle. If the Bible makes us wise, then we ought to build our lives on the principles of God's word. And here's one principle. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee," here's the word, "wise, unto what? Salvation. Wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So one of the areas that all of us need to be wise in is in the area of salvation. Today we are seeing tragically pulpit after pulpit that across our nation that fail to make people wise unto salvation. They fail to just preach positive thinking. They preach positive thinking. They fail to show man his real needs. They fail to have people recognize their lostness and to recognize their need. Certainly the word salvation here has to do with the word deliverance. Aren't you glad you were delivered? What were you delivered from? Well, you've been delivered from alienation from God. That's what our sin has done. It has alienated us from God. And you've been delivered from the awful slavery of sin. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've been delivered from the awful consequences of sin. And certainly, God's word is a deliverer for us today, and these principles of delivering us. Isaiah 58:1, Isaiah cried and was told to cry aloud, "Spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." What do we need? We need those who will cry out and show from God's word what our transgressions are today, and to show from God's word what our sins are, and show from God's word ways that we have displeased God. The Holy Spirit. John talks about the Holy Spirit coming, and the Holy Spirit, when he would come, would do what? He would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So what's the Holy Spirit doing today? Reproving the world of sin. It's sad that in many, many ministries today, you'll go and you'll never hear the word sin. You'll never hear about sin. You'll never hear anybody talking about why we need a Savior, because we're sinners. And do you remember in John chapter 8? And let's turn there quickly to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And let's look around verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him. Now these are ones who were already beginning to believe, and yet they take issue with something that Jesus just said about freedom. And what did they take issue with? They said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now let's just stop for a moment. Under whose tyranny were these Jews at the time when Jesus was speaking to them? At what? Why did they so readily want the Messiah to come? To free them from the Jews and from the Rome, free them from Rome and from the tyranny of Rome. And now they are so pompously saying, "We've never been in bondage to anybody." Well, notice what Jesus answered them. It says, and Jesus answered them, verse 34, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." So he was taking them from physical bondage to spiritual bondage. And it's one thing to be under physical bondage and wanting to be set free, but you know what's even more important? You can be in physical bondage and still be free because you've been set free spiritually. And so what Jesus was talking to these folks about being free, he was not talking about physical bondage, he was talking about spiritual bondage. And we need today to have the Word of God to show us how we can have spiritual deliverance today. How we can be set free from sin and set free from guilt and set free from the penalty of sin. And so if men and women today are going to be truly delivered, it starts with the testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, making them wise in the area of being delivered from sin. And again, what they need to know is what Philip was telling the Ethiopian eunuch when he gathered with him and started to teach him from the Word of God. And you remember the story there in Acts chapter 8 where Philip was ministering in another area of the country, and then the Spirit of the Lord took him down to Gaza, and there he met a man who was an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot, and he was reading. And where was he reading? He was reading from the book of Isaiah, we know. And he had some questions, and his one question was, "Of whom does this prophet speak? Of himself or some other?" And what is the wonderful thing that was told to him? The Bible says that Philip, beginning of that scripture, opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. Preached unto him Jesus. We know the source of deliverance. It's Jesus. We know that no one will ever be delivered from sin apart from Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, "Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures." And so this is the wisdom that dispels the sinner's fears, because that is wisdom that tells us about our deliverance. Acts 17 says, "Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and 3 days reasoned with them out of the scriptures." 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging what? that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Now, we've been taught evangelistic methods, haven't we? We all know, and I'm sure that many of us here today know the Romans Road. We can take verses in Romans that tell us about the needs and tell us how we can receive Christ. And we kind of like to put it into this little package that we can share. But, you know, in order for people to really, really, really understand the need and the provision and the necessity, oftentimes it takes a lot more than just a 10-minute presentation. How did we see Paul? How often did he reason here? 3 Sabbath days that he took to explain the scriptures to them. And he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And you know when we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus in the Bible, and the rich man in Luke lifted up his voice and cried out and said, "Send someone to my brethren that they may receive." And what was he told? Said, "If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one raised from the dead." But what were they to hear? The scriptures. They needed to be persuaded out of the scriptures as to their need. And so that's, again, the scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. Acts 18 tells us about one of the early leaders in the New Testament church by the name of Apollos. And Apollos, we're told in Acts 18, was convincing men mightily. And how was he doing that? It tells us showing them the scriptures. He was wielding the word of God. And so today, back to our original text, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple and making them wise in the area of salvation and deliverance. But there's another area where we need wisdom today. And that's in the area of our doctrine. Have you ever heard anyone say similar terms like, doctrine is divisive? I want a preacher who just preaches the gospel. Doctrine sermons are not evangelistic enough. Well, really, salvation and the gospel have so many other doctrines that are related to them that you can't preach the gospel without preaching doctrine. You have to declare the whole counsel of God. And you cannot proclaim it without talking about the doctrine of the incarnation. And you can't proclaim it without talking the doctrine of the virgin birth. And you can't talk about Christ without talking about Christ's nature and his sinlessness. And so there are all kinds of doctrinal things that are related to the gospel. His substitutionary death on the cross, his bodily resurrection, his work today as our high priest. They are all doctrinal teachings from God's word. And certainly it's impossible to study Paul's epistles without concluding that doctrine is important. Paul teaches doctrine after doctrine after doctrine. And the pastoral epistles. I just finished teaching the pastoral epistles in my Bible class, which are 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are the pastoral epistles. And in just 13 brief chapters in 3 books, they only have 13 chapters total, how many times do you think you find the word doctrine? 17 times. So what was Paul telling his young pastors in his pastoral epistles? Doctrine is important. Teach doctrine. And, you know, a preacher who's the kind of pastor they ought to be ought to teach doctrine. In fact, that's one of the titles of the pastor. He is pastor teacher, and that means he is the one who teaches doctrine. Let me give you a little illustration. You know, when I left the church in Florida, they began, of course, to have a pulpit committee. And this happens quite often in the same situation, but we had kind of an exaggerated form of this in that we had people from all over, especially the eastern part of the United States. And a lot of those were not members of the church. They were what we call snowbirds, and they would come down and spend the winter with us, which was fine. We loved having them. But once the church was not going to have a pastor, guess how many people had suggestions of pastors? One man in particular was suggested, and he came down, and boy, they liked him. They really liked his preaching. They thought he was a great preacher. And so very quickly, several of the people said, let's bring him back in as a candidate. And very quickly they discovered this. He stood up in the pulpit and said, I disagree with your doctrinal statement. By that time, there were already people that wanted him as their pastor. You know what they failed to do ahead of time? They failed to have him fill out all the paperwork and tell what he believed. And now they had a dilemma on their hands. There was a certain segment of the church that said, if we don't call him as our pastor, I'm leaving. And there was another segment that said, if we do call him as our pastor, I'm leaving, because he doesn't agree with our doctrinal statement. Unfortunately, the church split. And a lot of people left. And praise God, they didn't call him as their pastor. But don't you ever call somebody as a pastor here ever 50 years in the future, I'm talking about, who isn't somebody who has correct Bible doctrine. And the scriptures make us wise unto deliverance, and the scriptures make us wise unto doctrine. There is a body of truth that we need to hold to. But lastly this morning, the scriptures also teach us about our deportment. What is our deportment? Well, it's how we act. And the Bible makes it very clear that it's right to believe a certain way and to believe certain doctrine. But it's also important how we live, our deportment. And certainly we need to make sure today that we are practicing that which is good, biblical, separated Christian living. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what that's saying? The Bible tells us how we should go, where we should go. And we're told in 1 John that we should walk in light as he is in the light. And we are told that certain things that the Word of God will teach us, and one of those things is how we behave ourselves in the house of God. That's taught for us in the Word of God. And we are to know what pleases God and what displeases God. So we know how to walk and how to live. And if you don't know what to do, study God's word, and he will make it clear and plain to you. What does James 1:5 say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and to him it shall be given. And so the psalmist said in Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so today we have the testimony of the Lord that's sure. And what's it do? It makes the simple wise as to deliverance. It makes the simple wise as to doctrine. And it makes the simple wise as to our deportment or our decorum, how we're to live. Psalm 119, 1 and 2 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. The word of God, the testimonies of the Lord, they're our tutor, giving us wisdom. Let's look to the word of God and be wise. Let's pray. Lord, how incredibly sad at the biblical illiteracy that many of our neighbors and friends have today. And yet it's through that same Bible that we find the source of salvation, the source of deliverance, the source of wisdom, the source of how we should live to be happy and content in life. And yet many have either ignored that source or have grown up in situations where they've had no exposure to that source. And so, Lord, we recognize that we have a tremendous job to do of spreading your word. Father, I pray today we will ourselves have renewed and continued dedication and commitment to the word of God, and that here in 2016, we will definitely be known as people of the book, building upon the sure foundation. So direct us day by day and week by week into your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.